closely to the words there. They were beautiful words, weren't they? Once your enemy, but now seated at your table. That's what the gospel offers. It offers enemies of God and to be brought into the family of God, to sit around his table and to know him as your father. And it's a beautiful blessing that the gospel brings. We're going to bow our heads now and we're going to pray. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight just for those truths that we have been listening to, those truths that remind us that your gospel is amazing, that it changes everything about us. Lord, we thank you that even the scripture reminds us that we were once enemies, but now for those in Christ Jesus, we are friends of Christ, but also children of God. And we pray tonight, Lord, that as we consider more about this gospel, as we consider more about how to live out the Christian life, help us, Lord, to understand your word and to be blessed by it. We thank you for those who have gathered here tonight. We pray, O God, even in their own hearts and their own cars right now, that you will help them to concentrate, help them to respond well to the word and to be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me invite you, if you have your Bibles, please open them to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Tonight we come to Mark 4, 21 to 34 in our studies in Mark's Gospel. Here's the church. It's our habit of working through Mark's Gospel in the Sunday evenings and working first by first to hear what Scripture says. The reason for that is because Scripture is the Word of God. It's the authority over all things, and therefore we want to take it seriously, to study it together, and to think about what it has to say to our lives. And tonight we come to Mark 4, 21 to 34, where Jesus speaks in parables to his followers. So if you have your Bible, Mark 4, 21, God's word says this. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has more, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on ground. He sleeps and he rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all seeds of the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. And this is God's word to us tonight. If you were here at church this morning, we thought about evangelism, which is spreading and sharing the gospel. We noticed that every Christian has the responsibility to share the gospel with those around them. And this morning, I think that message was very timely for us as a church, because God in his providence has brought it to our attention, because this week we are beginning our summer outreach with a five-day club in Blackwater Town. Over the next few weeks, many people from our church will be heading off on camps and teams to share the gospel or to hear the gospel. And yet before they go, they must, and we must as a church, be instructed on certain principles for evangelism. Well, tonight God again in his word wants to see our part in evangelism. He especially wants us to be clear on his word. He wants us to be clear on the responsibility that we have to share the word of God, but also the understanding that he is the one who brings growth to the word of God. And I think what is amazing in this passage tonight is that Jesus, in a sense, gives us a mini Fersion, and a mini teaching series on what evangelism is. He gives us our part, our responsibility, but he also tells us what God's responsibility is. We have a part to play, but also God has his part, the main part, to play. Tonight I want us to consider this text under four headings, so I would encourage you, even in your cars, to take notes on your phone or your iPad or your notebook if you can. Firstly, I want you to see tonight that God's word must shine forth from God's people. Let me repeat that. God's word must shine forth from God's people. Look at verse 21 again of Mark chapter 4. Jesus said to them, to his disciples, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? So here Jesus asks a question to his disciples. The answer is easy. Of course, a lamp is not brought in to be placed underneath something. Rather, a lamp is brought inside to be placed on a stand to provide the room with light. Especially in the society that Jesus was speaking to, a society without electricity, the only source of light in the evening was the lamp that was brought inside. And therefore, it would be foolish to place this lamp under a basket or under your bed, for then it cannot perform its purpose. It cannot dispel the darkness and give light to the room. If you were to bring it inside and place it under the basket, that would only be momentarily, because soon it would be manifested. That's what Jesus says in verse 22. He says, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." The illustration Jesus uses tonight is simple, isn't it? A light is not put in a room to be hidden. Rather, a light is put up in a room to strategically provide light for all in the room. Now, our English translations hide something very important in the Greek here. In the original Greek, in verse 21, Jesus uses the definite article "the" instead of "a" for lamp. So he's talking about the lamp. He's talking about a specific lamp, not any general lamp, but the lamp. And also in the original language, the verb he uses is not "brought in," as our English translations have. Rather, the verb he uses is "come." So literally, Jesus says in verse 21, he says, "Does the lamp come to be put under a basket?" And when we understand that, it helps us see what Jesus means. Because in Scripture, light refers often to God, but also to the truth of God. In the New Testament, Jesus takes up the same language and he describes himself as the light. John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus is declaring to be the light of God. He is declaring to be the truth of God that comes to shine in the darkness and in the evil of our world. He's come to bring us light and reveal God's message to us. So in this illustration, Jesus is describing himself as the one who has come to shine bright. Now, when we consider what has been happening so far in Mark's Gospel, we get a better understanding of what Jesus means in verse 22. In verse 22, Jesus says the light is placed in secret first, and then eventually it is manifested. You see, throughout Mark's Gospel, if you've been with us over the past few weeks, we have seen Jesus silencing the demons and silencing his people from spreading the truth about who he is. The reason for this is because if Jesus and his message are revealed prematurely to the world, then he will be misunderstood. Jesus told them to be silent because it was not the right time to reveal his full identity. His full person and his full work needed to be revealed first. Jesus and his kingdom message did not come to be hidden forever, but he came to be revealed to all. And only after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ could his disciples proclaim the full message of Jesus, because only then did they know what the true message of Jesus was. Namely, that he was the Son of God who gave his life to die and arise for his people. And tonight we live after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Tonight we are living in the time when Jesus, as the light of the world, must shine forth to all. And therefore the call here from the scripture is for us as God's people to share God's word. We must proclaim and we must broadcast Jesus to the world. Jesus said in Matthew 10:27, "What I tell to you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." So it means tonight, if you're a Christian, you have a relationship with the light of the world. You know the message of truth that has come down from heaven, the message of God's kingdom. And therefore, you must share this message with the dark world around you. You see, you have not been given the light of the gospel to hide to yourself and conceal in your own heart. Rather, you've been given the light of the gospel to shine forth to others, to broadcast to the world. You are called tonight from this passage to share Christ with the dark world around you. Look at verse 23. Jesus says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus here calls his people to understand what is being said. He calls his people who have been given spiritual ears by the Holy Spirit to hear what he is saying and to act upon it. He's saying, don't hear this message and ignore it. Rather, he says, hear this message and act upon it. Hear the call to shine the light of Christ into the dark world and go forth and do it. Go forth and declare the message of Christ to this dark world. Now, it would be amiss of me tonight then not to tell you about the light of the world. You see, the scripture says that we are all born in darkness. In scripture, darkness refers to anything that is opposed to God. It refers to sin. It refers to evil. It refers to corruption. Naturally, we belong to the kingdom of darkness. And naturally, scripture says that we love the darkness rather than the light. We love everything that goes against God and rebels against God rather than God himself. Because we are in the darkness, we do not know the truth of God, nor can we have a relationship with God, because what fellowship does darkness have with light? And yet tonight, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus says in John, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is declaring that he is the only one who can rescue us from our sins, from the darkness that we belong to. Tonight, Jesus alone can bring us from death to life. We can know the truth of God and we can have a relationship with God through Jesus alone, the light of the world. And yet this blessing is not for everyone. Rather, Jesus says clearly that this blessing is only for those who follow him, who love him and put their trust in him. He says, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness but have the light of life." And therefore, the call for all of us tonight is to examine our hearts and to see, are you following Jesus? Tonight, are you in darkness, in your sin, on the road to everlasting damnation? Or tonight, are you in Christ, the light of the world, in God's kingdom? If not, you can come, you can be saved by following Jesus, who is the light of the world. So the first thing we need to see tonight is that God's word must shine forth from God's people. But secondly, we must see that God's word must be consumed by God's people. God's word must be consumed by God's people. Look at verse 24 with me. Jesus said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear." He's saying, listen up to what I have to say. He says, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." So Jesus is saying here, if we are to shine the word of Christ into the world, then we need to know the word of God, word of Christ more. We need to consume the word of Christ more. Think of an illustration here. Think of maybe in your garden, you've got those solar panel lights. Well, in order for them to shine bright at night, they need to take in the sun's light during the day. Similarly, if we are to shine bright for Christ in this dark world, then we need to take in the light of Christ's word. We need to consume it. And that's what Jesus' point here is in verse 24 and 25. He calls us to pay attention to what we hear from his word. He uses the illustration of scales. In the marketplace, a scale would be used to measure the weight of something. Well, Jesus says the same measurement you use will be used with you. The point is, if you take in the word and consume the word, word will be emitted from your life. But if you ignore the word, if you have a half-hearted attention to the word, then you cannot expect to emit more light to this world. This is so helpful for us to understand tonight. It's the importance of rightly hearing the word of God, isn't it? You see, there's two ways to hear the word of God. The first way is you hear it physically with your ears. It goes through one ear and out the other. That's a wrong way. The other way is to hear the word of God and then to internalize it, to consume it, to digest it, to think over it, and then to live it out. Well, that's what Jesus is calling for here. He's saying we need to consume his word more. We take truth in so we can put truth out. And therefore, the challenge for you, if you're a Christian tonight, is to consume the word. Sit under the preaching of the word. Take notes on the word. Read about the word. Read in the Bible your word. Read in good Christian books about the word. Listen to good Christian preaching about the word and digest it. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You see, you will never be disappointed with the word of God. If you come to the word of God with a desire to learn it, to consume it, and to be changed by it, God will bless it. And he will take his word and make it bear fruit in your life. But if we don't consume it, if we don't listen to it, then it's not going to have an impact on us. Jesus here is calling us to say, he's saying God's word must be consumed by God's people. So we've seen God's word must shine forth from God's people. God's word must be consumed by God's people. Thirdly, I want you to notice from the passage, God's word grows by God's power. Let me repeat that. God's word grows by God's power. In verses 26 to 29, Jesus uses another parable of the farmer. Now here in Gortmurren and the surrounding countryside, we are familiar with farmers, aren't we? We know all about them. Well, this time, Jesus' focus is on the growth of the seed. The seed, as we saw last week, is the word of God. The sower, as we mentioned last week, is any Christian who shares the word. This is us as we share the word of God with the world. We are called to scatter the seed. We are called to spread the message. And yet, look at what Jesus says in verses 26 to 29. If you glance there, he makes the point, the growth of the seed is not your responsibility. You see, in verses 26 to 29, he says, the farmer, those who spread the word, scatter the seed, then they go to sleep, they rise, and the seed sprouts and grows without him. It just happens. Likewise, God's word grows in the hearts and lives of people, not by our manipulation and our work, but by his own power. It's a reminder tonight that we desperately need to hear. We don't save people, nor are we called to save people. Rather, our calling is to share the gospel with people, to spread the seed, to scatter the seed abroad, to emit the light, and then we leave the rest to God. And he brings the increase. He grows the seed by his power. He is the author of salvation. You see, our calling as Christians is not to make up numbers. It's not to manipulate decisions. Rather, our call as Christians is to faithfully spread the word and leave the rest to God. Jesus says this is how the kingdom of God grows. The kingdom of God refers to the rule and the reign of God in the people's lives. His kingdom grows when his word is spread and he brings the increase. He changes lives. He adds to people to his kingdom. He is the author of salvation. That's liberating for us as we evangelize and spread the gospel. We're not called to manipulate people. We're not called to make up the numbers on a camp. We're not called to create the right emotional environment for people to follow Christ. Rather, we are called to tell the truth and trust that God will work in his way and his timings. We sow the seed, God brings the increase. Tonight I want you to hear this loud and clear. God is the author of salvation. Throughout the Bible, we see this clearly. God is the one who saves. One of the clearest places we see it is in John chapter 3. There Jesus says to Nicodemus, that religious, upstanding man in society, he says, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he will never enter the kingdom of God. Here Jesus speaks about the new birth. It's the work of the Spirit by which he gives new life and brings us as spiritual newborns into the kingdom of God. Now I want to ask you, what did you contribute to your own natural birth? Think hard about it. What did you contribute to your own natural birth? Well, it's an easy answer, isn't it? You contributed nothing. Well, it's the same in the spiritual birth. We contribute nothing. God is the one who saves us. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings about the new birth. He brings us into the kingdom by the saving, life-giving power of the Spirit. And therefore, as we evangelize, we are to recognize that. That God is the author of salvation. But I think you need to recognize that tonight. If you're not saved, God is the author of salvation. If you want to be saved tonight, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, then God needs to work in your life. It's not something you add to your life. It's not something you do. Rather, it's something God must do. You must be born again. The Spirit must work in your life. Now, in case you hear this wrongly and think, okay, if God's the one who does all the work, then I have nothing to do. Well, that's a wrong response. Because Scripture says that you do have something to do. Scripture says that you are commanded to repent and believe the gospel. Scripture says that you are to cry out to God for salvation. Yes, God is the one who saves. Salvation is wholly of the Lord. But you must turn to the Lord and seek salvation. Jeremiah 29:13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So if you're outside the kingdom tonight, if you're in need of salvation, don't hear this and say, I have no responsibility. You do. You must run to God tonight and be saved. For if you don't, you will be lost forever. If you don't come tonight, you will be lost forever. But tonight, today, is the day of salvation. So come to Christ. Come and be saved by our gracious and our loving God. So we've seen so far tonight that God's word must shine forth from God's people. God's word must be consumed by God's people. God's word grows by God's power. But lastly, I want you to notice from the text, Mark chapter 4, God's word spreads all over God's world. Let me repeat that. God's word spreads all over God's world. You see, in verses 30 to 32, if you glance there, Jesus uses another parable, doesn't he? It's a famous parable, the parable of the mustard seed. Now in Jesus' day, the mustard seed was the smallest of seeds to his audience. Jesus is not saying that this is the smallest seed in the world, for there are other seeds that are smaller. Rather, he's saying to his audience, his original audience, in the first century, Israel, this was the smallest of seeds. In fact, to the Jews, if they were talking about something small, they would often use the mustard seed as an illustration. Well, Jesus says that this is the kingdom of God. It's small in its beginning, but over time it will grow and eventually become larger than all the garden plants. So large, Jesus says in verse 32, that even the birds will find a nest in it. Now, in the Old Testament, kingdoms were often compared to trees that grew so large and the birds nested in it. Daniel 4:10 for an example. In that context, the kingdom was so large that it had spread over the entire world. Well, here Jesus is saying the same thing. He's saying the kingdom of God is going to grow so large that all people over the world will be added to the kingdom. You see, this is the power of God's word. His word will spread all over the world. His word is going to go across every single continent, every single village, every city, every kingdom in our globe. His word will spread over the world. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 7, he had a vision of what is to come. In Revelation 7, verse 9, he said he looked And he saw a great multitude that no one could number. A multitude from every nation, from all tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." There, John, the Apostle John, when the church was small, when the church was being persecuted in the first century, he sees a vision of the kingdom of God spreading over the entire world. This is the future of God's kingdom. God's word will spread all over the world. Multitudes will be added to his kingdom. And as we reflect on history, we see that this has been happening as Jesus said it would, haven't we? Think about church history. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ began with Jesus, this lowly carpenter, this fisherman from the town of Galilee, or of Nazareth. People said in his own day, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" It was a despised place. It was a ridiculed place. This Jesus, he was crucified on a cross. The most humiliating of deaths. How would he, a humbled one on the cross, bring in a mighty kingdom? And yet fast forward after the cross, we see on the day of Pentecost, 120 believers, followers of Jesus, gathered in the upper room. And then after that, the word of God in the book of Acts spreads from Jerusalem to Judea and to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth, to the known world at that time, to Rome. And then from there it moved across Rome to Europe, to America, to Asia, to Africa, to all over the world, that today the gospel is still spreading. You see, Jesus' kingdom that had a small beginning is continuing to grow. And tonight that gives us so much confidence as we evangelize. It gives us perspective. We're not involved in a work that is going to be thrown out. We're not involved in a work that's going to run dry. We're not involved in a work that is going to end. Rather, we are involved with a kingdom that is spreading and no one can stop. You see, throughout church history, many people have tried to stop the growth of God's kingdom. Martyrs for the faith. Persecutors in every country have tried to quench the flame of the gospel, and yet they have never succeeded. Why? Because God is growing his kingdom. God is spreading his kingdom. And one day, God's kingdom will be recognized in all the world. That's the reason we spread the message. That's the reason we spread the word. Because Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And tonight that should give us confidence as we share the gospel. Tonight that should motivate us to continue to share the gospel in our dark, hostile world. God will bring the increase. God will grow his kingdom. You see, here in Mark 4, as we close, we see what evangelism is. We see what the work of the kingdom is. We have a part to play, and God has a major part to play. What's our part? Well, Christian, you are to consume the word of God, and then you are to let loose and share the word of God with those around you. You are to let the light of Christ shine in this dark world. What's God's job? What's his responsibility? Well, he brings the growth. He brings the increase. He builds his kingdom. And he eventually will establish it in all the world. And therefore, as we close, the call is, let's go with confidence. Let's go with empowerment to spread the gospel this week to our dying and our dark world. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, just again, for your word. We thank you that it gives us so much perspective and it teaches us so much truth. We thank you, Lord, here that we have seen the call for us to go forth and to tell the gospel. And yet we thank you, Lord, that as we do so, that we can have confidence that you will work, confidence that you will you will change lives, confidence that you will build your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to do this. Even tonight, Lord, build your kingdom here. If there are some outside of Christ, we ask that you will bring them into the kingdom now. We ask that you will do the same this week as we go into Blackwater Town and as we speak to the boys and girls and as we speak to the parents. Lord, we ask that as we share the gospel, as we faithfully scatter the seed, we ask that you will bring the increase and you will build your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for what we've heard tonight. We pray that you will bless us as we head home after a short while of cup of tea together. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.